Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk, coming at you from in front of a little foam box. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, you must own it. But first, let's do some theater folk news. Well, it's summertime, and the living is indeed, as they say, easy. That is one pretty wonderful thing about having a job that follows the school market. You always know when the work is going to slow down. So July is a kickback, relax kind of month for us, except that we're mental and we never exactly relax, and we're sort of working. I'm in the corner with my laptop. Craig has a laptop going and the desktop. He's making website improvements that I totally do not understand, and he'll tell me, and I'll nod and smile because, well, I know what he's doing is a good thing. I just don't know why it's a good thing or what exactly is the composite of the good thing. It's like another language, right? But we're working, and but we're more... July is all about taking breaks, you know, go outside, see the world, see it's really hot outside in the world. Come back inside, enjoy the air conditioning. I think it's really important to take breaks. If your life is all go, 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 there's no space to recharge. There's no space in your brain to regenerate, right? And there's nothing more frustrated than an exhausted brain. And there's nothing more fulfilling then those are new ideas that come from a really fresh brain. Oh, I gotta love that. Fresh brains. Okay, so where would the news be in this intro? Well, what's the news? The news is we're working, but we're taking breaks. We've got new plays in the pipeline. I'm in the process of working on some new ebooks that will be coming out this year. A new Write Your Own, a monologue writing book, and a couple of others. And... well, we've got plans. We love this this dumb little company, and we love our wonderfully smart customers. Don't you love how it works out? We're little and dumb, and our customers are wonderful and very, very smart. And we know that we can do more and offer more and get out there more. And I'll sum it all up by saying, more is coming. That's the news. There's going to be more. Not exactly CNN, but, you know, what is? Lastly, where can you find this podcast? Well, we do indeed post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com. How did I pronounce that? Theaterfolk.com. Please and thank you. Know how to pronounce the name of your own company. And on our Facebook page and Twitter, you can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Episode 49, Own It. So, hello. Hi, how you doing? I'm good. Are you well? Everything's grand. It has been a while since I have been sitting here talking to you, staring at the mic, all on my lonesome. I have to say, I've enjoyed the brain break from coming up with these, but I also really enjoyed all the conversations that Craig and I recorded on all the shows that we saw on our trip, and I hope that you enjoyed them too. You know, the five of you who are out there listening, hello. I think I probably know all your names. It was a really unique experience, and it is my, well, I can't say it's my dream, because dreams are intangible. I want to make it my vision, my motivation, my goal, with steps that I recreate that experience, repeat that experience, not recreate. I don't want the same one, but I want to go back. I want to go back to England. There, I've said it. So what are we talking about today? She says, as she flexes her metaphorical podcasting fingers and reaches into the deep recesses of Summer Brain. Good thing I titled this podcast, so I have something to refer to, right? Oh, it's almost like it was on purpose. So we're going to talk about, surprise, owning it. Not a house, not a car. Your artistic life, I guess. And it's a question that comes up all the time, right? How do I be a playwright, be a dancer, be an actor, be a musician, be somebody in the arts? The problem with asking this question is that, as with all questions, we really expect that 2 + 2 = 4, and that just isn't the case. There is no one set of rules for everyone, every artist, every person who pursues the arts. It's not like a job that has a solidified set of steps. I want to be a teacher. Okay, well, go to school, get a degree, go to teacher's college. You know, that's how it works here in Ontario and other places, I assume. Decide what level I want to teach. I apply for a job at that level. I hopefully, if the medium is right, get a job and I teach. And successes, failures, highs, lows aside, that's what it takes. There are steps in place to go from point A, I want, to point B, I am. And it doesn't quite work that way in the various factions of the arts. And you could go to school. You could get a BA in the arts, but you could just as well not. A degree is not a prerequisite, nor does it determine success. The degree that I have, English degree, really, aside from research and background, has nothing to do with my job. And aside from some very, very special circumstances, you can't apply for a job in the arts and get to keep it for an extended period of time, like 10, 20 years. So I suppose that's why the question is so often asked, because there are so many jobs that follow a pattern, point A to point B, and it makes sense to someone just starting out in the arts that maybe that works like that too, even though it doesn't. What you're doing is taking one framework and trying to apply it to another, and the two just don't fit. You can't think of a career in the arts as like anything else out there. Like anything else, which is one of the reasons we do it, of course. We don't want one of those other jobs. I never wanted one of those jobs, and I had lots and lots of practice at those other jobs. I was a temporary employee for 9 years at the start of trying to figure out my artistic career. And that 9 years was plenty of hours and minutes and seconds to figure out that point A to point B, sitting at a desk from 9 to 5, was never going to be something that I ever sought out. It really does give me chills thinking about it. The thought of waking up, leaving the house with a modicum of effort to look like I didn't just wake up, fighting through the throngs and the throngs of the sour-faced people all moving like herds of cattle, as if to their death, moving towards looming buildings, cramming into elevators, spilling out into floors with recycled air and soul-killing lighting to sit in a small box, or worse, a small cubicle with gray carpets and gray walls, and to have to be at my desk staring at those gray walls at a specific time for a specific length, a specific period, with maybe a 15-minute break in the morning, some sort of break for lunch, maybe a half an hour, maybe an hour, maybe if you were lucky, a break in the afternoon, and just sit there until a specifically designated time when you could lunge from your desk, lunge into the elevator, fight for air, for space among now the sour-faced throngs now, moving like herds of cattle in the opposite direction, home again. And that doesn't even start to factor in the mind-numbing actual job actions, the conversations, the pettiness, the recreation of high school at a much, much more grosser level. That's just going to and fro, you know? It just wasn't my cup of tea, man, if you hadn't guessed. And time again, when I was at these jobs, I would be asked, don't you want to work full time? You know, like this? No thanks. And when I would be offered a job at some of these companies, as I was time and time again, and then when I would turn down said jobs, you know, the people would look at me with such puzzlement, like, don't you want a job? Because what they had was the traditional, right? They had the parameters of what a job should be. They went from point A to point B to get said job. And they didn't see what I had as a job. But I had one, which is different. Thank God, it was different. So that's the first thing. You know, it's important to realize that a life in the arts is different. There is not a laid out framework to step into, which I know is not a helpful thing to say, because sometimes artists, they're just not even looking for a framework. They're just trying to figure out one thing to do. What's the first movement that a foot takes, the first step? And what would that be, Lindsay, since you have so much to say on the topic? Well, yes, I do have an opinion, so share it. Okay, then, I will. We'll do it then. Which I think is from Pee Wee Herman. But don't quote me. Tangent. All right. Okay. Right. Sometimes the first step to being an artist is simply saying, I am an artist. What? You know, I write things out. I actually wrote out what? W-H, what? All right. What are you talking about? What does that mean? No wonder people don't take artists seriously. You're not even suggesting school or a work program or backpacking through Europe. You are right. I am not. You should explain yourself. Okay, I will. We'll do it then. Recall. Okay, technically not. And it was too soon. I knew it was too soon anyway. I'm not perfect. This is not perfect. Shall I go on? Okay, so sometimes the first step to being an artist is not asking the question, how do I become an artist, but by taking a stand and declaring what you do. Say it out loud in a statement, not a meandering, but telling people, putting it on business cards, you know, spray painting on walls. Okay, maybe not that last one, but we have to assume that if you're asking the question, how do I be an artist, you're already doing some kind of art, right? You have a passion for playwriting or dance or acting. It is in you. So be that. So you're already doing it. So you are, right? Publicly own it. Own being a playwright, a novelist, a songwriter, a musician, a dancer, an actor. And when people ask you what you do, you tell them with pride, this is what I do. This is what I am. Not what I want to be. Not what I'm thinking about. Not what I'm dreaming about. Not what I would love to be. This is what I am. Which is not as easy as it sounds. It's not an easy statement to say out loud. I am a doctor. That's easy. I got from point A to point B. I'm a teacher. You know, I'm an accountant. It's hard to say out loud, I'm a playwright, with pride. It took me years. Like, years. Now I say it all the time. You know, I am really awesome at, like, shouting it from rooftops. I'm a playwright. And when I have to create an online username for myself, I am always Lindsay Writer. I love it. I am a writer. But I didn't always. And there was a long time that I was pretty embarrassed, humiliated to tell people I was a playwright. Because the next question after I said, what do you do? Oh, I'm a playwright. The next question always was, have you done something that I've seen? Have you done something that I would know? And my answer was pretty much always in the negative. Nope. Because that's the tricky thing about being an artist, isn't it? Sometimes when we write, we act, we dance, we are doing the thing that we love, we are doing our job, but technically, We're not. Technically, we're not working. Traditionally, we're not working because we're not being paid for what we do. We don't go to an office. We don't work 9 to 5. We don't work Monday to Friday. We are not doing our work at a level that Joe Public considers acceptable. So it's not work. It's not a job. Which circles us back round again. We're back to frameworks. Because the subtext to the question, how do I become an artist, is kind of, how do I get paid for this thing I love to do so much? Because that's what my parents really want to know. How am I going to make a living? How am I going to pay bills? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to sustain myself so that I don't end up living in a box under the freeway? Because that's what they're afraid of. And they don't understand what I do. And they don't get that what I do, what my job is, doesn't have the same laid out set of steps as regular jobs do. How do I explain it to them? There are a couple of tricks to dealing with this. Some of it involves making up your own rules within the rules that everyone around you expects you to live by. Number one, own it. You have to own what you are doing. And it's really important not to be wishy-washy. I'd love to, I dream about, oh, would be so great. No, I am an actor. I am a dancer. I am a songwriter. You must be definitive. You must be strong. You must look people in the eye. This is not the time to be an introvert, pasty-faced, silent writer type. Confidence is what civilians are looking for. That you know what you're doing. That you know what you're talking about. And for heaven's sakes, fake it if you don't. You want people to take you seriously? You want people to take your work seriously? You want people to believe that you know what you're doing and that your job is real? Pretend that it's real, that you know what you're doing. Pretend that it is real. No one will know the difference. You know, real to them is a much different thing than real to you. And if you can make them believe that what you're saying is their reality, oh my gosh, I just went down a whole different road. But it really is about stating and being confident and not letting their rules define you. I am a playwright. Boom! Lay it down like a running back. Spiking that ball in the end zone. There it is. Deal with it. That's what I am. Second, you better have an answer for the question that will always follow that statement that you are making. I'm a playwright. What's next? Well, what are you doing? What have you done? Have you done anything that I've seen? Meaning, are you a big shot? Are you a Hollywood millionaire success story? And if the answer is no, since for most of us that's what it would be, you need a rock solid, no way anyone could shake, I am a mountain, you couldn't break me if you tried, answer. It's a question we all hate. That's a given. It's a question that comes up all the time. That's a given too. But it's important to remember that more often than not, it is a question that is asked out of ignorance and not out of malice. They're not trying to tear you down. That stranger trying to engage you in conversation wants to connect to your world. And they want to connect it to the one that they know. And so if they're asking you the question and you're an actor, say, the world they know is actors act in commercials and on TV and in movies. So it does make sense that they would try to connect you to being in movies, even if you've never been in one. And when your Aunt Sally says, why aren't you in that movie? Do you know Leonardo DiCaprio? You should do commercials. They make money. She just doesn't understand the process. She's just trying to make a connection. And people would ask me if I had written anything they've seen. It just wasn't. They weren't trying to humiliate me or embarrass me, even though that was my instinctual reaction. You know, I thought it was all about me. In reality, it was just all about them. They just didn't, they have no idea how the process works. They don't know what I did. And why would they? I don't know. Just as I have no idea about the job that Craig is doing working on the computer, you know, why would, you know, Joe Public have any idea what it takes to write a play? I'd like them to know, but so what? And if you're at the start of your career and you've got parents who are freaking out that you want some kind of artistic life, maybe it's not because they want to stifle you and clamp down on your creativity. Maybe sometimes it's because they, you know, love you. And they don't want you to live on a box underneath the freeway. I think that is pretty a reasonable expectation that a parent would want for their child. And now, so when I get that question, I have a rock solid, you can't shake me answer. Have you done anything I've seen? No, you haven't. You haven't seen anything. You know? All the work I do is in schools. I write for schools and student performers. That's what I do. And the funny thing is when I started stating that with confidence, when I started owning who I am and what I do, not one person looked down at me or my job. Well, maybe they do behind my back, but what do I care about that, you know? when I look them in the eye and they state it and I own it, they usually say, wow, that's cool. It just isn't what they traditionally connect to. It isn't movies. But they get that I mean it. So you better have an answer in your back pocket. Don't fumble, don't mumble, don't kick a stone, or jam your hands in your pockets, or turn red. I am an actor. I am taking classes so that I can improve and get better at it. I'm a songwriter. I'm writing 8 hours a day right now, and I'm researching recording studios. So what? So what if you're working at 7-Eleven, or you're working a waitressing job on top of that? You know, don't demean what it is that you do. Find an answer to that question that is really at the heart of what you're doing. And so what if it doesn't follow the right rules, you know, or the parameters of jobs of 9 to 5, and here's my salary, and here's the check that I get at the end of every 2 weeks. You know, make your own rules. And actually, if another really good tip is that if you really have to explain to somebody, maybe you have family members, you have to explain what you do on a regular basis, find out language that they key into. You know, find a job that fits in a framework that people understand. You know, research is a good word for that. And then craft a way to describe what you do using those words. You know, people get weirded out by things they don't understand, by people who use language that they don't understand. And if you can find a common ground, find a language base to put them at ease, all the while owning what you do and speaking with confidence, you can, oh, I'm not going to say trick people, but you can comfort those around you that, you know what, living in a box under the freeway isn't your intention either, and you do take it seriously, and you are not a stereotype. You are working a job. And it goes without saying, too, that while you are saying, I am a playwright, I am a musician, I am a painter, you better be doing that. You better be doing your art all day, every day. It doesn't count if you say it and then you don't do anything. You better be doing it all the time. So that's step number 2. 1, own it. 2, do it. Look at that. See? 2 steps. Now you've got 2 steps. You have 2 steps. You're on your way. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care. Over and out from the little foam box.